May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 679. Come, thou almighty comforter, and bring upon thy wing sweet consolation to each soul, that we may praise and sing. 679.
Thank you. Let us read, friends, from the Word of God. First in the Psalms, Psalm 84, and also part of the 8th chapter of St. John's Gospel. Psalm 84. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. The sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Let us also read, friends, in St. John's Gospel, chapter 8, reading the first 32 verses. John chapter 8. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus unto them, in the treasury, as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself, because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come? And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak the word to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Thus far we read, friends, may the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may he help us in prayer. O Lord our God, we venture again to approach thee. Oh, we come, Lord, pleading the precious name of thy dear, well-beloved Son. Oh, thou, Lord God, knoweth how we be led to read that part of thy word in John's Gospel as well as the Psalm. And, Lord, thou knowest how we do seek now to acknowledge thee, the great God, the living God. And, oh, as we approach thee, dear Holy Father, oh, we trust, we know through thy grace that thou art that one who hath given thy dear Son. And, Lord, we plead his precious name. Oh, we plead for Jesus' sake. And, oh, we beg, Lord, do look in mercy upon us now. Oh, we beg of thee that thou mightest so favour us with the grace of faith that we so much need to believe. Oh, that we might believe, Lord, come with prayer indicted by the Spirit. We might believe we shall have the petitions we ask of thee. Lord, we're sinners. We do know and feel much need to come with confession. Lord, we've got wicked hearts and we're so prone to wander through the dictates of our wicked hearts and carnal mind. It's right what the hymn writer says, we do feel it much. The carnal mind takes different ways, different objects she surveys. But Lord, we do trust thou hast put within us a desire. As we've been reading in the psalm, we hope we know the secret of the favour of a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. We want to prove it, Lord, today. And oh, if thou, the dear deacon, has begged for it in our hearing. And Lord, thou knowest we believe the dear deacons together desire it, as it's so been proved and seen in the hymn we've sung. And Lord, the dear people here, those who fear thy name, oh, we do trust we have a mutual exercise and concern and desire, Lord, through thy grace, that we may know and find thy blessed presence here. We may know the favour of it. We may know the favour of Jesus in the midst. Lord, how thou knowest how we've been reading how that dear woman came. She was made to be dear by grace. But Lord, a sinner, a bad sinner. And we are bad sinners, Lord. Vile sinners, hear our solemn confessions. Thou knowest how we have to make them. Oh, so much personally in private. But Lord, in public, oh Lord, we would acknowledge together. Sin is mixed with all we do. We do beg of thee now that we might know that favour of the subduing of the old nature. Oh, may grace reign. Do come and reign o'er us as King, Lord. Oh, Lord, may we know the holy divine influence under the power of the Spirit. Lord, we might be in the Spirit, not left to ourselves. Oh, don't leave us to ourselves, Lord. Oh, we beg of thee, do not leave us. Oh, for Lord, oh, we know. If it's only our old nature involved in worship, it won't be worship. Oh, there'll be so much. Oh, that will bring shame and confusion. Oh, we beg, save us from our old nature. Save us from our wicked hearts. Having any part today, oh, may the new nature be in exercise. If we have it, Lord, we hope by grace we have it. Oh, do come and shine upon the work of grace, Lord, in each soul gathered here. Oh, Lord, even I said, if indeed it be begun, and some of them may be feeling much anxiety whether it is begun. Some of them may be in darkness, Lord, and far off condition. Oh, they need thee to come and enlighten them and enliven them and draw near, Lord. And oh, that thou mightest restore. Oh, that thou mightest shine. Oh, Lord, thou knowest where we've read concerning thee, the Son. Oh, the Son of righteousness, the Lord God is a Son. Oh, Lord, we beg, do shine. Oh, do shine forth, thou that dwelleth between the cherubim, shine forth. Give light. Oh, give exercise. Oh, give the graces we need, Lord. We pray for faith, to believe. Save us from unbelief. Save us from ourselves. Oh, do their work in us, Lord. And may we feel it today. And do favour us that we may have by faith a glimpse of thyself, Lord. Oh, Lord, thou dear, dear Lord, our Saviour, our dear Redeemer, thou knowest we have known the favour of that sacred, blessed favour of believing and feeling thee near and knowing thy love. Some of us can testify of it. And, O Lord, if there are those here who are longing after thee, seeking thee, Lord, thou knowest how we were led to consider early this morning the reality of real seeking. And, Lord, oh, that it might be, that seekers may find. Lord, we plead thine own words, seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened, ask and it shall be given. Oh, especially we bear before thee the dear young people. You know, there we are concerned for them, Lord. And exercise, we hope, we can say honestly, for the good of their souls. Lord, they've each got never-dying souls, as each one of us have. Lord, oh, could it please thee to bring them to be concerned in early days? For their souls before thee are holy, God. How we begun in singing, thee, the great almighty God. Oh, Lord, thou art almighty. Thou art the great high holy one. And thou hatest sin. Thou cannot look upon sin without complete abhorrence. O Lord, may we be brought, each of us, to tremble before thee, the living God of sinners, and to seek thee, to beg of thee, to beg of thee for mercy. Blessed are ye young people. Oh, bring them into that concern and felt need, Lord, that they may seek thee earnestly, knowing the solemnity of their cases. Show them themselves, Lord. Show them, give them to know they are sinners before holy God. But Lord, do go on to show them the wonderful way of salvation too. Oh Lord, there is forgiveness with thee. Oh, what a blessed word, wonderful, full word it is. There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared, Lord. Oh, may those souls who know conviction know this blessed truth. There is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. And Lord, oh, do favour in due time. Precious souls to know thee, to know thy forgiving love. Oh, to know thy pardoning love, Lord. Oh, Lord, ere we sing thy pardoning voice, so let me hear. To still my unbelieving fear, nor let me fall, I pray. O Lord, to be prepared for eternity, to be prepared for the judgment day. Lord, do work. Work in the hearts of the dear young people. Yea, work in us each, Lord. Oh, how the apostle wrote those blessed things of truth concerning the living family of God. It is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Oh, may many dear soul here know this favour. God working in you. God working in them each. According to thy will, we beg it, Lord. Oh, that thou wouldst so work in precious souls and manifest them as thine, Lord. We do beg of thee that thy work may appear unto thy servants, thy glory unto their children. Oh, we pray for all thy dear servants, Lord, on the walls of Zion today, and where'er thy people gather. Oh, we have our mind especially going to another part of the world today, where a dear friend is gathering with thy people. We know it's early hours yet, but Lord, we do beg that he may know thy blessed presence today, and that thy people may know as thy favour is true and sure for thy people, that thou wilt feed the poor, thou wilt feed thy people and favour them and satisfy them according to their need. We believe it, Lord, and so may there be meat in thy house, in the gatherings of thy people, among them, Lord, and for them, oh, for their soul's good. Jesus, where'er thy people meet, there they behold thy mercy seat. Where'er they seek thee, thou art found, and every place is hallowed ground. Lord, may this be blessedly known and proved today. And Lord, we beg that thou mightest have all the honour and glory. And so, Lord, oh, be with us. May we know, even today, something of the blessed sweets of pardoned sin. Oh Lord, if sin be pardoned, we're secure. We feel, Lord, oh, we feel our unsettledness. We feel our treacherous state, Lord. We feel much the danger, the terror of the wave in toiling and rowing through this time state. Oh, in our journey, Lord, there's so much danger. Dangers of every shape and name attend the followers of the Lamb. Oh, do thou favour us to know thou art the captain, the glorious leader, the king in Zion. Oh, Lord, oh, that we might believe. Believe our God today. To believe, Lord, to the saving of our souls. Lord, do come, then we beg, and bless souls. We pray for the afflicted, Lord. And know if we think of one another, and some of thy dear servants, Lord, and thou knowest, Lord, we do remember them and pray for them. Those that are in affliction, laid low, feel much affliction upon them. O Lord, do give that grace, we believe thou wilt, and we pray for it for them, Lord. That they would so support and give grace and help and be near them. And Lord, may thy sweet presence be with them, Lord, if they cannot minister today. And Lord, oh, we pray that they will be with all thy people, those in affliction and trial and trouble. Thou knowest the cases, Lord, we bring them unto thee and pray that they will so attend them. And Lord, we do especially remember friends in sorrow. You know how we have very deeply felt the sorrow, the loss and sorrow that their friends, the black boys, have known. And Lord, oh, we pray for them, that the comfort of thy love may still be with them, Lord. May they know it, that upholding, that comfort that they so much need, especially remembering thy dear servant, Lord, who feels it much too, as a grandson taken. Lord, who knoweth our love to them. And Lord, we beg of thee, do still comfort them. Thou hast said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So be with them and the dear pastor. Oh Lord, we remember our friends and would pray for them and bear their burdens, Lord, in prayer. And Lord, we pray thus that in the churches we might know thy sanctifying of these solemn times. Lord, it's been a solemn time of late among our churches, of our beloved denomination. There's been those home calls of souls ripe for glory, we know, but also the solemn sudden things. Lord, we specially remember thy servant, Mr. Wallace, Lord, who knoweth how deeply he feels his loss. Oh, do continue to be near him and help him and support and comfort him, Lord. And, oh, help him as he's so willing to go and minister when he can. Oh, bless the word through him. And, Lord, oh, we would not leave any here, but thou knowest all those in our heart to pray for. Be with them, Lord, and help them and comfort them, uphold them. And, oh, Lord, we especially beg for thy people, many we do not know in the one church in the wilderness. Thou knowest all thine own dear people. Oh, we would beg for them, that the favour of thy presence may be granted today. Oh, that thy living family may enjoy salvation full and free. Lord, come to us here. And go to those where'er they gather. And so bless the word, bless souls. Lord, feed the poor. Oh, thou hast said, thou wilt feed them. Oh, Lord, thou art that one who has given thy whole life and done so much, done everything for thy people. And thou hast said, my flesh is meat indeed. My blood is drink indeed. We do plead, Lord, the blood that did for sin atone. We beg all these things, remembering our country too. We beg them with the pardon of our every sin, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 1088. Shepherd divine, our wants relieve in this our evil day. To all thy tempted followers give the power to trust and pray. 1088.
as the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you this morning to the psalm that we read, Psalm 84, and for our text, the 11th verse. Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. This psalm is a wonderful psalm to this poor one who stands before you. It's a wonderful psalm to us in our experience, in that even personally and with our dear one, we have proved it, we have walked up and down in it. And so I bring it to you today with a personal feeling of wonder and thankfulness to God for some of the things I hope I have proved and known from and in the this psalm, the experiences set forth in this psalm. I hope we can say together here this morning, we come into God's house, and can I put it to you by way of question? Did you feel in coming to God's house this morning something of how this psalm opens? Is it with you to feel this? How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts? And as the theme continues here, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. Why? Why is this? Has the week of time, when some of you been hard? Have you been dark? Have you been taken up with things? And are you troubled because you've been taken up with things too much and haven't had much time for your Lord? Oh, it may be. If you really feel this, this is how you are. The Lord knows. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of... Notice it says even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. Oh, what a reality this is. A hard reality. When you feel this in a spiritual way, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. But let me say this, friends, if you feel this, and if this agrees in your soul's feelings, as the psalmist put it here, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord, my heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God, I can say, with the authority I hope God gives me, with the discernment I hope I have, if you really are in this, if you really feel this, you're a living soul. The dead know not anything. You must be a living soul. But you are, because you're a living soul, troubled. Because you're not in the condition you long to be in. The psalmist was so there, and he looked at the sparrows. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. And he could acknowledge the favour, blessed are they that dwell in thy house, and even acknowledge they will be still praising thee, Selah. But these acknowledgements still left the psalmist, I believe, with a need, a felt need. And he goes on, he acknowledges these blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, whose heart are the ways of them who pass in through the valley of Baca, make it a well. Do you know something of the valley of Baca? But has God's grace enabled you to make it a well? they go down, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. We can only just, as it were, quickly scan over these verses, come into the text. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. But when he's prayed, begun to pray like that, the dear spirit leads him very deep and very close to God. And he says, behold, O God. He begins to get the Father's ear. He begins to know access to God. And he says, behold, O God, our shield. And look upon the face of thine anointed. This is the favour, friends. I hope I know something of. I hope the living people of God here, each of you, know something of this. This favour of pleading with your God and gaining God's ear as you plead the precious name of Jesus. Oh, behold, O God, this is prayer, access to the Father, and look upon the face of thine anointed. The Father has his dear Son at his right hand, the Son of God at God's right hand, and the child of God is pleading the precious name of Jesus. This anointed one, it is that greater Son of David, the Son of God, God's anointed, the Son of God. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. Can you understand that? Are you brought into the secret of that? That our shield, and as a people, the people of God here together, I hope we are, can we acknowledge this through personal understanding and experience given, that we have been given that understanding and in our experiences, is it so? Behold, O God, our shield, and the Lord is to you your shield. It's pleading his name. Plead. You can't approach God and live without pleading the name of Jesus. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. And then you see a more full and a more, and if I may say, a beginning to be free in the acknowledgement. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. It's only the dear living family of God who can acknowledge this truth, who can acknowledge before God like this, as the psalmist does, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. You know, in the first understanding of it, it says God has quickened a soul into life, and they begin to have that favour of God giving them light and knowledge. And as the Lord leads them on a little, in love, he deals with them solemnly to make them know their state, their condition, their sinnership, their guilt. And he goes on to be gracious and merciful and giving more light. And also, you know what the sun also gives? Warmth. Child of God begins to know something of the holy love of God. Oh, how wonderful this is. This statement here. This part of the text is a statement. It's a statement with pleading. It's this favour given to the psalmist to know by some blessed measure of experience and to plead for more and to begin to addressing God and stating it and beginning to praise God in a way, feeling sense of thankfulness that the Lord God, for the Lord God, is a sun and shield. Oh, do you feel this today? However dark you may have been, however low you may have been, however far off you may have been, can you begin to witness? Like I stated at the beginning, you must have life if you are concerned and you need the Lord and you desire. Like the psalmist begins, he acknowledges how amiable is are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts, and then my soul longeth. Do you really have this deep within you? My soul longeth for the courts of the Lord. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my soul crieth out for the living God. And it's not just, you see, longing for the courts of the Lord. But you are given to know, and you have proved in the past, that it is in God's house where God's honour dwells, and he meets with his people, and he's favoured you. If the Lord's favoured you in this sanctuary, you know it by experience. And you know the favour is wonderful when it's repeated, and you're brought again into the exercise and to need the Lord, and can plead in this way and acknowledge in this way, because you have experienced it in the past. And so you say, I need thee now, Lord, I need thee now, I need thee again. And so, friends, I believe, even though some may be dark or far off, if that light is beginning to shine on this Sabbath day, this Sabbath morning, in the Lord's house, in the Lord's courts here, if the Spirit is in what I'm bringing before you, and God's favour is in his purpose of love and mercy appointed for you today, you know, this is how you will be, I think. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. You won't deny that. You know it. You know it. And what is wonderful is that the psalmist acknowledges it, and you can agree. By grace you can agree. And you, in this favour of agreeing and knowing the word of God is truth, this is so linked, friends. Did you notice it in the closing lines of the first hymn? This is so linked with that last verse we read in John's Gospel, where we felt we would read to. You know, before I came along here, the Lord settled me in my mind that that's how far I would read in the Gospel according to John. And what did we read? We read concerning that favour of being made free. The Lord bringing liberty. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And this is it here, friends. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The knowing the truth of it by experience, knowing the truth as stated here, knowing it by experience, and beginning to feel on the Lord's day as we gathered here, a little of that being made free, a little of that favour of God's free grace. It's free grace, you know, where we sing free grace to every heaven-born soul will be their constant theme. Long as eternal ages roll, they'll still adore the Lamb. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Our God gives. He's a giving God. A loving God. A giving God. Thy God shall supply all thy needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Spiritual needs, providential needs. Oh God's gracious favour and kindness, goodness to his people. The Lord will feed the poor, nor will their fare be mean. Rich blessings are in store in Grace's magazine. You know it is so. It's proved so by the living family of God. But friends, as you come this morning, if you have felt this feeling, sense of longing for the courts of the Lord, and feeling to need, you want restoring, you need something special today, you may feel barren, you may feel so much troubled because of your state, the state you're in. Well, I hope you can begin to take up the words by faith, as the dear psalmist has written. For, and this word for is the link, is the flow into the word. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. And you know, in the deeper things of God's teaching, you will know how much you need the sun of righteousness to arise with healing in his wings. You are brought to know the horribleness of your sin and guilt before a holy God. The Lord, he gives light, and as he gives light, he gives knowledge. And much of what you have to know and learn, if you're a true-born child of God, is that you are vile, you are wretched, you are ruined by sin. Oh, the Lord God is a sun. And if you think of it in the pure line of things, of that light from the sun, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, without going further into the favours that God will make known, well, it's despair, no hope. It's that lost condition that every child of God has to know something of. But here there's a blessed coupling. It's coupled by God, it's linked, it's joined, it's eternally joined. The Lord God is a sun and shield. He'll give light. He'll give knowledge. But he'll show you, see how the psalmist had been pleading. He says, look upon the face of thine anointed. Behold, O God, our shield. That's pleading with the Father. Pleading his blessed gift and provision, all what he has done in sending his dear son, giving his dear son, and the holy approval the Father does have, ever has, of all what his dear son has done, and God's light and knowledge to his people enables them to believe and to plead the precious name of Jesus. It's pleading the name of Jesus, this one who stands between, with garments dyed in blood. This is how he's a shield. The one who stands between an offended God, an angry God, a holy God. The one who stands between, with garments dyed in blood. Look upon the face of thine anointed. Behold our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. Oh, if you come to the Lord in prayer like that, with the exercise of the Spirit, pleading the name of Jesus, the Holy Father will look upon you and accept you in his beloved Son. He cannot do any other than accept you in his beloved Son, as the Spirit gives you faith and exercise to plead the name of Jesus. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. But I did say the warmth, the blessed warmth of the love of Christ, the love of God. The Lord God is a sun and shield, and God's holy mind and purpose is that all his children, every one of his sons and daughters, they shall know and taste redeeming love. They shall be brought into the favour to believe in Christ, to believe to the saving of their souls, for the Lord God is a sun and shield, and God gives his people faith in his dear Son, faith to plead the name of Jesus. Faith gives revelation of a precious Christ. It gives his favour to believe in Christ, the atonement, the blessed atonement of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ, the full payment made for the debts of all the Church of God sins, the blotting out of all the handwriting of ordinances that were against the Church, the Lord's put all their sin out of the way, and he gives his people this favour. Oh, to know it and believe it by faith. Wonderful when we know the strengthening of faith to enable us to believe that our sins are put away. This is what you want. This is what you want in longing for the courts of the Lord, isn't it? This is what you need to restore your soul. You need to know your sins are forgiven. You need to know that pardon and peace through the application to your very soul of the holy precious blood of Christ. This is what you need. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. And you know, these times of changes that we have so many of, we feel much, and as God teaches us more and more, our ruin and our depravity of our hearts and our helpless state, our proneness to wander, and we are given to feel solemnly and to know more and more how wretched we are. See, the will and purpose of God for every child of his is to make them self-renouncing, grace-admiring. You know how we sung of those points in the hymns on legality, having a legal mind. Now that's all got to be dealt with, friends. It's all got to be broken down. And the Lord in his time on earth when he met those Pharisees spoke solemnly to them, didn't he, as we read. And you know, those that were never changed, though they were religious characters, they were found lost at last. But God's people are dealt with by him. God prepares them for heaven. And this is what we have in the text as well. They have to be dealt with, brought down, humbled, their hearts broken. And so they have to know solemn experiences. They have to know more and more their own wretched state. They have to be taught it. And you'll be taught it by your continuing in your days. And when you feel, and perhaps this may bring a little help to some, when you really have to deeply feel what a horrible character you are, God's teaching you. God's doing it in love, making you know and feel it in love. He's doing it in love and mercy. He's working it. He's sanctifying you. He's making you lose all your personal admiration of yourself. This is what he's doing it for. He's doing it to make you totally rely upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he's making you know what a wretched, wretched soul you are. God must do it, you know. My godly mother used to quote him. He will by means like these, thy stubborn temper break, soften thy heart by due degrees to make thy spirit meek. These things you have to experience. God's doing it in love. You, I hope, can see he is a sun and shield. He gives grace and glory. The Lord's dealing with you in love and mercy, making you feel much of your awful state. You know, it would be a dreadfully solemn, sad thing if you're brought to feel deeply your awful, solemn, sad state before a holy God and never know anything more. But, oh, God says here, they will know. They will know all they need to know. He will give grace and glory. He'll give grace. The child of grace. The child of God is a child of grace. They're born again. They're taught by God. They're worked in by God. And he'll give you the grace and you will know it and have the favour to be established that this is your favour to know and have the grace of life. Quickened, made alive. Born again, made alive. And the life that you are favoured with has to be maintained by God. None can keep alive his own soul. This is how you have to learn more and more. That you are helpless, hopeless yourself. But by God's grace and favour, he shows you that your life is in him. Your life is hid with Christ in God. He's teaching you it. Teaching you to profit. This is how he works, if I know anything of it. And so he will give grace to these souls he's quickened. He will give grace. He'll give the graces of the Spirit. He'll give them grace. He'll give them grace, the grace of understanding, the grace of knowledge. He'll give them that favour to be established in the grace with the grace of life. He establishes sinners in the faith. And this establishing of sinners in the faith, it is making them more and more to know their absolute lost and wretched, ruined state in themselves. The hymn writer says, in themselves, as weak as worms, how can poor believers stand when temptations, foes and storms press them close on every hand? And you have to know it. God's love is loving purposes to make you know it and feel it. But oh, the favour. Weak indeed they feel they are, know they are. Feel they are, but they know the throne of grace. He will give grace, he'll give prayer, faith, to plead his precious name, to plead the precious name of Jesus, to look to Jesus, to believe in him, to hope in him, looking away from self, out of self, to Christ. This is the favour God's people have to know and be taught more and more deeply, more and more wonderfully, clearly. The dear Spirit works to lead sinners to Christ. So fallen is nature. They have to be led to, the purpose of God is they're fallen, lost, and the Father draws them to Christ. The love of God draws you, poor soul. It is in God's favour that you're not going to be left to yourself. He's going to deal with you and teach you, make you feel solemnly your need, make you feel your lost condition, your ruined state, make you know something more and more of your heart sins, and feel conviction, new conviction, fresh conviction, solemn conviction, to know it. But, oh, it makes us more and more need the Saviour. And as the dear Son of Righteousness shines, we feel that holy warmth, that heavenly heat of his love drawing us. And he is so attractive, so wonderful. He's that altogether lovely one, the chief among 10,000 to us. Because grace has made us know absolute helplessness and wretchedness and lost condition. So we cry, we plead, Lord, have mercy upon me. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Christ is made so precious to such souls who are blessed with the teaching of the Spirit to make them know their absolute nothingness. He will give grace. He will give the grace of life. He will give the graces of the Spirit. He will give grace in tribulation. He will give grace in every trial. He will give grace. He will give the grace and maintain the grace of life in you and give you faith in the bleeding Lamb. Make Christ precious. He will give grace. He'll give you the gracious favour to know something of the power of His holy love. He will give grace. He'll give you grace to endure the deepest trials. He'll give you grace to go through the darkest pathways. I think from time to time I'm led to think of how the late Mr. Pavlik testified to us of his experience in the Bohemian forest, where it was so dark and he could only see a little light as he looked up. To never forget that dear man relating it to us in a little circle of friends after one of the services. Oh, the wonderful witness it was to me as I was young, much younger then. But oh, where we look up. Oh, where we look up to the Lord. We have to. We are compelled to. Jesus, my soul was compelled to flee from all its wrath and curse to thee. I know we still have that stubborn will which cleaves to Sinai still, but oh, we do need the liberty of the gospel. We do need to feel it again. We do need the favour renewed to us. Oh, we beg. We beg that we might know it. I beg that you might know it. I beg for you, friends. I carry burden for your souls. That the dear Spirit would bless you, lead you to Christ. That the wonderful power of the Father's love may draw you to Christ. Oh, the wonderful favour, you may prove it. He will give grace and glory. This is certain for the elect family of God, the chosen objects of God's love. And let me carefully, especially before you dear young people, you might dread to hear the doctrine of sovereign election set forth. You might have a query, solemn query in your mind and a fear in your mind that if you're not of God's elect, of course, there's no point in thinking anything about it. That's fatalism. We don't condone that, friends. You know, what is very wonderful is when God so blesses a soul, He calls them by His grace, gives them to become concerned and need to pray to God, and they know in some measure their sad, solemn state, maybe not in the depths of which we've touched upon this morning, but in the early days, and you young people, if you are feeling, truly feeling, your sad, solemn state as a sinner, you know you've got a soul, you know you've got to go to and stand before the judgment day, judgment seat of Christ, and let me say carefully and lovingly, you don't know how soon that will be. It would be very foolish for you to think you can leave all these things till later in your life. You don't know how soon you may die. We felt in love we must go to the funeral of late dear young Timothy in the south of Black Boys. You know, having the same experience as dear Gordon and Brenda, to lose a son so young. We wanted to show our love and support to them. And, you know, I would say that, not wrongly using that as an example, I hope, but how you can see how a young soul can be taken suddenly out of this life. And before that soul is the judgment day. Immediately after death, the judgment. And you know, because if I may explain, There's no time in eternity. Eternity is one forever now. And so you see, can you understand? After death, the judgment. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. If you're a young soul who God's beginning to make concerned, that will be because he does have a purpose of love to you. If he's making you concerned and very solemnly to feel the seriousness of this, and how do I stand? Am I one who God loves? Does God love me? Now, I did name that doctrine of sovereign election, which is a vital, fundamental doctrine of our most holy faith. But there is a very clear and sure way of explaining how a soul will know they are elect of God. Election, sovereign election, is known by God calling his people by grace, calling them into concern, calling them by grace. It's the same as what the Lord spoke in those solemn words to Nicodemus: you must be born again. And when a soul is born again, they begin to become concerned about their never-dying souls. And they begin to know solemnly their sinnership and guilt. They know before a holy God they are sinner. And they are in trouble because they are sinner before a holy God. And all they can do then, and it's wonderful they can, is plead for mercy like the publican did. And oh, God is merciful. He gives grace. He gives a young soul quickened into life grace to plead for Jesus' sake, to plead for mercy. And he hears their prayers. He favours them in his time. This is the way God works. I'm a witness of it. When I was 18 years old, God changed my heart, turned me around, made me concerned. Eternity became a tremendous sin. I knew that if I was not favoured to know the Lord had come for me and suffered for me, I would be lost. Oh, this favour then is a wonderful favour if we are brought to know we need to seek for mercy for Jesus' sake. Plead for Jesus' sake. The Lord will give grace. He'll give those exercises. He'll give that grace of life. A child of God is alive by grace and gracious exercise, and especially the grace of faith, which is that blessed enabling grace, enabling a sinner to believe. Grace is the brightest evidence, really. It's everything. It's the way of favour for every blessing God's people know. It's by faith. By faith, a child of God believes. They trust the Lord. They live upon him. They cast their care upon him as faith is in exercise. May the Lord give this grace. He will give grace and glory. He will. And so whether we be young or older, wherever we are in the paths of life, this word is a wonderful word of truth. And especially, and really only so, and especially so, when it's sealed by the Spirit in a poor sinner's heart. He will give grace. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. You will learn that you are made to be accountable and to seek to be walking uprightly. Not for merit, But as God's grace has won your affection, his love you've known some measure of, you love the Lord, you want to live unto him and serve him, and you will be brought to be concerned about your walk and conduct, how you live, how you walk, how you behave, especially when you're favoured to know something of his love. If his love, his free grace has won your affection and bound yourself fast, you'll be concerned about how you live and how you show forth his praise. And, especially concerned that you might not grieve him, not grieve the Lord. I believe here the psalmist touches upon this, that he feels he's got the filial fear of God. And he knows and witnesses it by acknowledging it like this: no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. The upright walk doesn't depend on us in a sense. It's by God's grace. But we should remember how important it is, because if God's wonderful grace and favour has been granted us, and especially if we've had some hope raised in us and seen the Lord by faith, our Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done, and know what a great cost it was that our salvation was wrought and brought for us with. And you know how John writes in his wonderful record in the Gospel according to John, how it is acknowledged there, especially there, they shall look on him whom they pierced and mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son. When you think of how you're living, how you're going on in your life, or is it a concern to you, or that I might live carefully and humbly? My Lord, my God, can see me every step. He sees me through and through. He knows my heart. Oh, I want to walk uprightly, not to merit salvation, but to show my love to him, to show how I do so greatly desire to honour and love and obey him. When we were up in the north on last Tuesday after the service, and the friends knowing we were hoping to drive home, the dear man said to me, "I think you'll go on your journey home in the theme of the hymn, Immortal, Honest, Rest on Jesus' Head." I said, "I hope so." But I said, "Friend, in love I would say to you, I want to be in that last verse. I hope it might have had some effect, but I said I want to be especially in that last verse, that last line, obey his voice and all his will esteem. This is the walking uprightly. By God's grace, I believe it with all my heart. I want to be in it. I fail, I come so short. But before you, friends, dear friends here, I leave it with you, that the dear Spirit may bless you. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory." We haven't much touched upon the prospect. There's a glorious prospect for the people of God, especially it will be viewed by you who are getting more weary of earth, yourself and sin. Some of you know what this is with loved ones taken, how they come to this. And it is God's process of his holy, perfect will and way. Brings his people down, weakens their strength in the way, weans us from all things here below, and gives us the prospect, weary of earth, myself and sin. Lord Jesus, set me free. You know, this is stated here. He will give grace and glory, certain and sure. It's the Word of God. It's the truth, and the characters who know it know something of what the dear Lord left on record through his dear servant John. How he spoke to them, the disciples there. Ye shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. This wonderful freeness, free grace to every heaven-born soul will be their constant theme long as eternal ages roll. They'll still adore the Lamb. He will give grace and glory. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £660, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Chapman hopes to address the Sunday School this afternoon. Mr. Timothy Rosier is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Chapman again next Lord's Day. Hymn 804. Ye lambs of Christ's fold, ye weaklings in faith, who long to lay hold on life by his death, who fain would believe him and in your best room would gladly receive him, but fear to presume. Hymn number 804.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, do forgive anything there is seen amiss. Do own and bless thy word. Lord, help the Sabbath school children to remember the first line of the last verse we've just sung. And Lord, help us in the Sabbath school. And come up with us again this evening, Lord, we beg. Oh, may we feel that help and thy presence then. Lord, be with us. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit, may it abide with us. Amen.